I want to speak to you tonight about something that I think we're all sometimes interested in. Vance Havner, the great old-time preacher of yesteryear, when he was telling about his life's story, and he told that when he was a boy, that around the old home place, that he went out by the chimney and he scratched in the chimney, "I want to go to heaven." And he said as he became an older man and he went back and the old house was gone, and but the old chimney was still standing, and he said he began to feel around the bricks, and through the years of wind and sand and everything that it blew against the old chimney, everything was gone but heaven. But he said, "I still want to go there." Amen. You know, sometimes we don't think about the great thing that God has done for us when we talk about heaven today. And the scriptures doesn't give us all that I would like to know, but I guess it gives us all the Lord wants us to know. In Revelation chapter 4, we find that heaven is a place of worship. I think that's probably the greatest thing that will happen in heaven. We will spend an eternity in the wonder and glory of the Lamb of God, and we'll be worshiping Him with all the saints of all the ages. In the book of 2 Samuel, we find that it's a place of reunions, and we will see our loved ones there again. For David said, "He can't come to me, but I can go to him." 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells us it's an eternal place. It's not simply a place we'll visit, but it's a place tonight we will dwell. A lot of places on this earth sometime I'd like to see. The only problem, I can't get back by bedtime. You know? I don't know why I've always wanted to see Niagara Falls. I always thought that would be a fascinating place to see. Many other fascinating places in our world and even in our nation tonight that I've never seen and probably never will. But sometimes when we have the time and opportunity and we go and visit those places, it's for a brief period of time. But when we go to heaven, we're going to dwell there and be there for an eternity. That's going to be where we live tonight. The psalmist said it was a place where God dwells, and that's a wonderful thing. Jesus told us in Matthew that we ought to lay our treasures up in heaven, because it's the only place tonight where true riches and true treasures can be amassed. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we are told, and Paul says, we're to long for heaven. We're to desire to heaven. We are to want to go to heaven. Paul, writing in the book of Philippians, said that, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Paul is teaching us here that heaven is our home. For our conversation is in heaven. The word conversation there is not communication like we normally think of conversation when people are conversing, when people are talking to each other, but it's a Greek word, an English word, that in the time the King James Bible was translated meant citizenship. We are tonight not a group of people tonight that are striving to get to heaven. We are citizens of heaven tonight who are traveling and journeying and strangers and sojourners upon this earth. Tonight our home is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. We need to realize tonight that heaven is our home. Somebody said you can't go home again. Hallelujah, I'm headed home. You know, we had the Christmas cantata, and, you know, and when we sing that song about how that people are headed home, "I'll be home for Christmas." I don't know if I'll be home for Christmas, but one of these days I'm going to arrive home. I'm headed home tonight. And heaven is not here. Paul said that for our conversation is heaven from whence we also look. You know, we're traveling through this world tonight, but heaven is not here. And this world will never be heaven tonight. We try to and we strive, and in this day and age especially, it seems that one of the great things people are doing is striving to make a utopia here on this earth. They're striving tonight to eliminate all kinds of diseases and all kinds of hurts and all kinds of pains, and they're searching tonight to make everybody's life great and wonderful. But it'll never happen on the face of this earth tonight. Heaven is not here. But heaven is our hope. Heaven is our hope tonight. I'm glad we've got a hope of heaven. That God has put in me tonight a hope. You know, I remember sometimes when you leave and you have to be gone for a period of time. And when you get ready to come home, and your hope tonight and your desire, and all during that time you're gone, is your hope to come back home. It's your hope tonight. That's the thing that keeps you going. That's the motivating force in your life. You know that before long, you're going to get to come back home. That's our hope tonight. I'm glad we've got that hope within us tonight. I don't know what we could do tonight if I didn't have that hope. What would we do tonight without that hope? John the Revelator wrote these words in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's God's description of heaven tonight. And he goes on throughout the rest of that chapter and most of chapter 22, and he describes for us the wonders and the glories of this place we call heaven tonight. And you know, when you begin to read that tonight, it seems that heaven is really more wonderful than we can ever think tonight. Heaven is more wonderful than anything we can ever conjure up in our finite human mind tonight. The glories and the wonders of heaven tonight, what glory that will be. Not long ago, as I was listening, I think it was 99.3, and I was listening to that going somewhere, and Vestal Goodman came on, and she was singing a old song that I hadn't heard in a long time, and she sang a country. Where no twilight shadows deepen, an ending day where night will never be, a city where no storm clouds ever gather. This is just what heaven means to me. What will it be like when we get over yonder and join the throng around the glassy sea to join our loved ones and crown Christ forever? That's just what heaven means to me. What does heaven mean to us tonight? What does heaven mean to you, and what does heaven mean to me tonight? That's a wonderful song that she sang You know, the second verse said it's a place where there is no misunderstanding. And from eternity and strife we're free. No unkind words to wound our hearts are spoken. That's just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image others all flee, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. That's what heaven means to me. I'm glad God tonight has us a place tonight. And what a place God has prepared for us this evening. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'll go away and prepare a place for you. So that where I am, there you may be also. Why? Because in his Father's house are many mansions. And he's prepared us a place in the Father's house. How did he prepare that place? Well, he went to Calvary. He died upon the cross. He gave of his blood. He went into a borrowed tomb, and he came out the third day in a glorious resurrection. He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him this evening. And he prepared a place tonight that is more wonderful than I can ever describe to you. There are not enough adjectives in the human language tonight to describe to you the wonders and the glories of heaven. We just read just a few of them as we read here a moment ago in Revelation 21. You see, heaven is a prepared place, a place that God has prepared for those that love him tonight. I'm glad tonight God has this prepared place for me. Amen. You know, sometimes you drive up the road and you'll see them building a house. And I mean, they'll be building one of these humongous mansions tonight, and you wonder, what does it look like on the inside? But somebody, that house is being prepared for. Well, when I look at heaven tonight, I thank God he's preparing that for me. And he prepared it through the blood of Jesus Christ. Right. It's a prepared place tonight. You know, the scriptures tell us here in Revelation 21 tonight that heaven is a place where the presence of God will dwell with his people tonight. We know tonight that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he'll be amongst them. But you know, we are going to live there in the continual presence of God tonight. Just living in the presence of the King. Can you imagine that this evening? See what he said? Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. He's going to dwell with us. He's going to live with us. We're going to live in his very presence tonight. How's all that going to work? I have no idea. You think of all the saints of all the ages as they gather there in heaven tonight, but God's going to be right there with us and dwell with us. We're going to dwell with God in the very presence of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says it does not yet appear what we shall be. Paul said he's going to change our vile body like unto his glorious body. I don't know everything that I know how all this is going to work. All I know is one day I'm going to live in the presence of the Lord tonight, in the presence of the King. You see, heaven is a place where we're going to praise and sing words of praise to the Lamb of God and he that set up upon the throne. Squire Parsons many years ago wrote a song called Look for Me at Jesus' Feet. Have you ever thought about that? We're going to find Jesus. We're going to worship and fall down before him. That's what Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 describes for us, the great worship that's going to be taking place in heaven. I don't know about you tonight, but as you read that and then over in the book of Luke, when Jesus said that there'll be rejoicing in the presence of angels at one sinner that repenteth. He didn't say the angels would be rejoicing. He said there'd be rejoicing in the presence of angels. Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews about the great cloud of witnesses tonight. It's already went before us tonight. I believe tonight that when we're in heaven and tonight, if the Lord hadn't come back in the rapture and we're there with Jesus in that wonderful place he's prepared for us tonight as sinners are converted, as people are won to Christ, as the Lord Jesus is exalted as the Lamb of God and people become his child tonight. The Bible said there will be rejoicing. I believe we're going to be praising and rejoicing the Lamb of God as others get saved tonight. We're going to be praising the Lord. That's one reason a lot of people tonight are not going to be happy. It doesn't seem like. Because I see a lot of people and I talk to a lot of people and everybody wants to go to heaven when they die. I've not met yet one person that told me out and out, I want to go to hell. I want to die and go to hell. And everybody wants to go to heaven. Very few people want to come to church. And I'm not being ugly, but if they don't want to come to church and praise the Lord an hour a week, how are we going to praise the Lord for through eternity tonight? You think about that tonight. I'm not being ugly. It tonight, some truth sometimes needs to be told, doesn't it? One of these days, we're going to be gathered in heaven tonight. We're going to gather around the throne, and we're going to cast our crowns at Jesus' feet. And like we're going to see the one that loved us tonight. And Brother Ralph's favorite song, I guess, is "What a Day That'll Be, When My Jesus I Shall See." Amen. And we're going to get to see the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. But then he said he's going to do something for us. He'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Hallelujah for that. Wipe away all of our tears. All the heartaches. All the hurts. All the sufferings that bring tears to our eyes tonight will one day be gone. Amen. You know, we don't think a lot about this when you're younger, but the older you get, you begin to think about that. Right. We go through a lot of hurt in this world, a lot of heartaches, a lot of things go. But tonight, there's coming a day when God will wipe away all those tears tonight. Amen. Every hurt will disappear. Every heartache will be gone. He says, first of all, there'll be no more death. Right. I don't guess anything brings tears as much as death, does it? You think about that. When you see that loved one depart from this walk of life, and there's hurt, there's grief, there's tears. Right. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking and asking me some questions. And I thought about this. You know, God takes care of our grief and he gives us peace. He gives us hope. He gives us solace. He gives us strength and he gives us comfort. But still in your heart, sometimes there's grief. There's sorrow and there's still heartache and hurt. There's things that you look back and I guess you can never erase from your memory. Don't want to erase from your memory, I suppose. I saw in the religion section of the paper the other day a man by the name of Joe Ed Morris and some retired Methodist minister, I don't remember his name, had written a book about stories from the Bible. And every time I see Joe Ed Morris's name, I remember when I had to carry Carrie to see him for Social Security. And one of the last things she said to me, I was asking her what about that. We were laughing about a couple of things. And then she finally looked over at me and she said, "Daddy, I'm not stupid." Time that hurts. And I thank God one of these days all that's going to be gone.
Right.
Prepared place tonight. Hallelujah. No more sorrow. We're going to wipe away our tears and death is going to be gone. We'll not have to go to a cemetery or a house of bereavement anymore. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Hallelujah. If you're here and you're young, you don't understand that. Talking to a man yesterday, he and I were talking for a minute about how different it was today, and he was talking about he and his wife had talked about getting a camper and doing some things. And I said, "Well, when Desi and I first married, we had a little pop-up camper." But I said, "You know, back then, I could lay down here on this concrete floor, slept 8 hours, and jumped up like nothing ever happened. Now I can't even get down to the concrete floor." Hallelujah, the pain's going to be gone, you know.
Amen.
The Lord's going to give us a glorious body. All of our pain will disappear. For the former things are passed away. We're going to be in a brand new. He's going to make all things new. Amen. I'm glad it's going to be new. You think about that. New. I told Desi the other day, I thought the doctor saw her more than I did. You know? By the time we look up, one of us going to the doctor. Went to the doctor more than 2012 and there went my whole life. And you know, they patch up your shoulder and they patch up your knee and they patch up your teeth and they give you glasses for your eyes. And we get all of these patch ups, but praise God, one of these days we're going to be brand new. You know, so kind of like going from putting a radiator hose and a brake line and a spark plugs and an old car, and it's still every time you get in it, something else falls apart. Praise God, when you're getting a new one, aren't you glad of that? I'm gonna get a brand new body one of these days. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Brand new one. He's gonna make all things new, and he said, "You can mark this down." And my grandma used to say, "Son, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it." What did he say? "I will make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Hallelujah tonight. True and faithful. It is done. It's finished once again. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, another great thing is some things that's not going to be there. He said, "The fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I'm not going to get into all that list. Let's just say righteousness and holiness. You see, the mansion God's got for you, you ain't got to have a lock on the door.
Right.
You hadn't. You ain't got to lock the door. Why? Because there is all going to be righteousness and holiness tonight. Heaven tonight. What does heaven mean to you? Heaven means a lot of things to me tonight. But most of all, it means a place tonight where God will dwell with us, where we can praise Jesus, where we'll meet once again our loved ones, where he's going to make all things new and wipe away all of our tears tonight. And let us have a wonderful, glorious home tonight that's filled with righteousness and holiness.
Right.
And as Inspirations used to sing, "Some glad morning I'll be touring that city where the Son of God is the light." Vessel Goodman used to sing, she's looking for a city. Hallelujah, one of these days we're going to find that city. Amen.
Amen.
I'm headed to heaven tonight. I'm on my way home. One of these grand days I'm going to arrive there. They said many years ago that when President Reagan was in the White House that he had a meeting with several evangelical leaders. One was W.A. Criswell from the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And Mr. Criswell asked, Dr. Criswell asked President Reagan, he said, Mr. Reagan, he said, when you get to heaven, why do you suppose the Lord will let you in? And I said, Ronald Reagan looked at him and said, all I can do is quote John 3:16. We're headed to heaven tonight because of John 3:16 tonight.
Right.
Hallelujah. Heaven tonight. That's just what it means to me.
Amen.
All right. If you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his wonderful, holy name we pray. Amen.